But today we're going to begin a new sermon series called I'll Be Home. And when you think of home, you probably think of traditions, maybe favorite memories, maybe even being cozy by a nice fire, maybe the smell of fresh baked cookies. It's kind of an ideal picture. That's not always the reality. You know, this time of year, as we were just singing about, it seems to magnify all the joy all around us. You know, it seems to be heaven everywhere, that people seem a little more friendly, that things are a little more exciting, there's a little joy in the air. But also magnifies that this is not always the best time of year, that there's pain, there's struggle, there's heartache, there's bitterness. Sometimes we feel alone. And so as we go about this season of Advent, this season of preparation, that we're going to be looking at how Jesus comes to us and continues to come to us through hope, through love, through joy, through peace, and meets us right at home. And so as we explore what this Christmas season is all about, we're going to be in a bit of conversation with some of our favorite Christmas movies, because have you ever noticed that Christmas movies are all about family? The ones that we really love, the ones that are classic, that they really are about family. They're all about home. And so today we're going to be looking at the Christmas classic, Home Alone. Because what better movie to look at when our situation is less than ideal, when our families are complicated, and when sometimes we just wish that we were alone. And so as we begin today, we want to look at this passage of scripture from Luke chapter 1, and we'll also have it on the screen, starting in verse 26, this great passage of scripture. It says this: "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Now Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end.' 'Well, how will this be?' Mary asked the angel, 'since I am a virgin.' And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail.' 'I am the Lord's servant,' Mary answered. 'May your word to me be fulfilled.' And then the angel left her." You know, sometimes home can be complicated. And that's what we see in this story of this young Jewish girl who has plans. And the angel comes to her and somewhat complicates the plans. In many ways, the angel appears and says, "I love the plan that you have, but I want to offer a bit of an upgrade. So here's what's going to happen." And the angel seems to be, you know, a little short on details, but high on promise and praise, that you will be with child, you will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And he will sit on the throne of his father David. His kingdom will last forever. He will be called the Son of the Most High. Can you just see how excited this angel is? But then Mary asks the most obvious question in the midst of this great proclamation, this great, you know, explanation of everything that's going to happen. She says, "Okay, hold on. Wait a minute. How can this be? I know how this works. I'm not married. How is this going to happen?" But the angel doesn't seem to get any less vague, right? It says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the child you bear will be called the Son of God." And then the angel goes on to say this: "You are not alone, Mary. You see, even your relative Elizabeth, who no one said could conceive in her old age, is now with child. And I love this because in our translation it says, no word from God will ever fail. And you might have heard it this way, nothing is impossible with God. And so Mary has this response, may it be as you have said. In other words, if no word from God will ever fail, if nothing is impossible with God, then may it be as you have said. It's a response full of hope. Because we know at this Christmas time that Christmas reminds us that even when things are less than ideal, hope determines how we respond. And that's what Mary responds. I don't know all the details of the future. I don't know how everything's going to work out. But I'll trust in you, God. I will trust in this word. And I will have hope of the future you were telling me. So what about all the details, the plans? How are all the conversations going to work? How is she going to explain this to Joseph? How is this all going to work out? Because this is really the great question of this. As this angel comes to her, how is this all going to work out? But she says, I will trust God for everything that you say. Because here's what we know. We can't control the people in our lives. We can't control our situations. And a lot of times we can't control outcomes. But we can control how we respond. You know, for us, that we cannot control what other people may say or what they may put online with the comments they may make about us. We can't control that relative who always has a comment about us, who always wants to give their perspective. We can't control any of that. And maybe for us today, maybe this Christmas season hasn't started off the most joyous of seasons. Maybe we're in the midst of a battle with a medical condition that we can't control. And then we keep getting news of, I'm not really sure how this works, but we're going to do our best, and we can't quite control it. Maybe this is a time of year where we wish we could see heaven everywhere, but we have those family members who, well, they've kind of missed the memo. And we can't control them, but we can control how we respond. And I believe that we can choose to see hope and let that determine how we respond. And that's what I see in this classic movie, Home Alone. It was a movie that came out in 1990, and you probably know the story. It stars Macaulay Culkin as an 8-year-old boy named Kevin. And the whole premise of the story is that he's mistakenly left at home as he's part of this large family. He has uncles and cousins who come in, and they're going to take this big trip to Paris. In the midst of it, the power goes out in the house, and they all wake up late, and in the rush, they leave Kevin behind. But in a bit of Christmas magic, Kevin also wishes that his family would disappear. So as his family discover at the airport that he's not there, he wakes up at home and realizes that his wish has been granted. So let's check it out. So how many of you would love to be left alone? Okay, wait, don't raise your hands on that one. Just think about it a little bit. Especially after a week with your families. I know some of you are pretty introverted, right? It's a gift that you came to church today, and we're really glad that you're here. Because you just can't wait to get some alone time. But when we look at this is kind of a picture of how complicated families are as he's kind of going through all these different people that were in his life, at his house, sharing their opinions about him. And he's like, I made my family disappear. How about that? Because families can be complicated. But even Jesus struggled with a complicated family. We see this in Matthew chapter 12, that as Jesus has begun his ministry and he's traveling around, we have that scripture there. Matthew chapter 12, that as Jesus is speaking to his crowds, that his mother and brothers stood outside and asking to speak to him. And someone told Jesus, your mother and brothers are standing outside and they want to speak to you. But Jesus asked, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And then he pointed to his disciples and he said, look, these are my mother and my brothers. Anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my mother, my brother, sister, and mother. Because at this time, they didn't understand what Jesus' ministry was all about. And so they're going, they want to try to stop him. And they're saying, once you come back, rejoin the family business, whatever you're doing, stop doing it. Because they just don't quite understand just yet. Because families can be complicated. And even as we look at this movie Home Alone, that Kevin has experienced the kind of loneliness that many of us may feel around the holidays. And that is in the midst of our complicated families that we feel alone even when we're surrounded by those who should love us the most. You see, what Kevin shared is that no one would listen to him. Then in that night before everyone leaves, that he gets blamed for a disastrous dinner. And he's made to get sent to the bed where he knows his cousin's going to pee in his bed. But he loves being at home. You know, he jumps on the bed, he eats popcorn, he eats ice cream for dinner, he watches old gangster movies. He loves it. He orders a cheese pizza all to himself. He's finally alone. But throughout the course of the movie, we see that he turns. That in being alone, that he begins to overcome his own character deficiencies. Because Kevin's not innocent. I love this part in the movie because we see that he's a little bit of a brat. He's, you know, he can't quite take care of himself, but he has to learn to since he's alone. He has to even overcome the wet bandits, right? Y'all love Home Alone, I can tell. You see, what happens is that when Kevin finds himself alone, he determines how he wants to respond. And we actually see this in another little subplot in the movie that involves a character called Old Man Marley. And we see this night as Kevin has to face the wet bandits that he goes to church. And there he sees Old Man Marley. And Marley goes and shares with him while he's alone. Let's take a look. You know, for many of us, this is the reality of the Christmas season. That we can relate to Marley's story. You know, no need for details. There was an argument. There were words said. Time has passed. And now all that is left is the fear to take the next step. You see, in the midst of our Christmas season, in the midst of all the joy, the hope, the peace, the love, we can forget sometimes that fear is a part of that as well. We see this as the angel comes to Mary and says, "Do not be afraid. I have this great announcement for you. It should be joyous. It's going to bring peace to everyone. But do not be afraid. Do not let fear determine how you respond. Because so often it's easy to let fear of outcomes, fear of the future, fear of what that phone call may be like, fear of that conversation to determine how we respond. In Isaiah 41:13, it says this, "I am the Lord your God, and I will hold you by your right hand. I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid. I am here to help you." In the midst of our fear, God is saying to us, "I am here to help you. I will take you by the hand, and we will walk in this together." And that's what hope is. Hope says we don't go this alone, that we don't control events on our own, but God is there and God will walk with us through it. Hope says to us, see a better future. That when we see ends, God sees a new beginning. That's what hope does. Because nothing is impossible for God. Hope determines how we respond. And this is a central message of the Christmas season. That God came to us, made a home among us, entered into our complications, entered into the less than ideal, entered into the imperfection, and made a home among us. Made a home with you. And God says it doesn't have to be perfect. You don't have to get it all right. But see the hope I'm offering to you. See the hope of a better future. See the hope of possibilities. Let go of the fear that has dominated your thoughts, that has kept you from others. And see, I'm inviting you home. Because as we began the service, we sing that great Christmas hymn, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And that hymn, if you caught the line, is all about reconciliation. The bringing together two things that were apart. Brings together God and people. And brings together people and people. That God says, where our home is broken, I'm coming to make it whole. Do you see it? Will you have hope? Hope reminds us and invites us to determine how we want to respond. Because for us today, as we think about home, may we think about memories and traditions, and we look forward to the parties and everyone we're going to gather with. Maybe for some of us, what we need is a little hope today. A hope that only God can provide. So may you open up your hearts to God. As God's word comes to you, God's word will never fail. And God says to you, come home. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for this Christmas season and this season of Advent, of preparation to celebrate your birth. As we remember, God, that you are the one who has come to us to make your home among us, and that, God, that you invite us home. And that, God, as you invite us home, that you invite us to invite others home as well. In those places where it's less than ideal, in those places where it's complicated, God, may we see your hope, and may that hope determine how we respond, determine what we see, determine what we say. And Lord, in those times, even when it's taken years, and we've carried hurt and bitterness for years, God, may your hope invite us to take the next step as you take our hand and say to us, I will help you. So God, I thank you. As we come to your table, may our hearts be open to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.